Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5HourEnergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast. Right,
5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. If you missed it earlier in the Circle of Swarm, I didn't put Derek Barnett in, okay? I put Tim Settle in for ruining a Hall of Famer. Should Barnett be in the Circle of Swarm for the scoop and score this week? Maybe, in the opinion of some, he should. But it's the opinion of two people, me and Seth. And I was the last one to make a pick. So I'm
Well, and also, remember, though, too, this is one where I think Tim Settle has deserved acknowledgement and yet has not been on the Circle of Swarm. But so it's not always about the previous week's performance.
He actually has once or twice.
It's everything. Shut up. So that's this. Damn it, Sean.
I know. I'm too honest. Sorry.
So Danico Autry, if he keeps it up. If he has another caused fumble, recovered fumble.
No. Derek Barnett. You said Danico Autry.
No, I said Danico. Excuse me. I meant Derek Barnett. Has Derek Barnett been in the Circle of
Swarm? Never. No, he's not been in. Yeah.
All right. That's what I meant. Yeah. So 100%. We're good there.
Yeah.
Barnett? So Derek Barnett has not been in the Circle of Swarm, yet he's done when he's swarm-like things, and everything fell apart. It was such a bad decision that I can't even think straight in trying to defend you.
I was just going to read a couple of the texts here. Barnett is number one in the Circle of Swarm. Just make it a list of seven. It's not the U.S. Constitution. Just add Barnett. Okay, we're getting a lot of this. Just make it seven. We got somebody here.
Listen. And plus, you're the guy said, if it was the U.S. Constitution, we could change the rules.
We cannot
change the rules for the Circle of Swarm.
Right, like this
one. So, yeah, it's not the Constitution is damn right. We're not malleable, damn it.
It's my favorite well actually you've had ever. Well, actually, you can change the Constitution. should be eight, not six in the Circle of Swarm. I read that one to you during the break, and you had the best comment follow-up to that. Like, this is not expanding the playoffs. It's the Circle of Swarm. Yeah. It's six, and it's always going to be six, okay?
Plus, if it were eight, all you're doing is it's okay, so we made we could have had two more to screw up. It doesn't change the fact that somebody was left out of the Circle of Swarm or deserved to be in the Circle of Swarm.
Until it's 53 in the Circle of Swarm, y'all are going to be mad about somebody being left out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people are guessing at my tease, so let's get to it here. We had Nick Caserio on the show yesterday. My tease to this was, after hearing Nick Caserio talk about this player, I think it's a lock that he is getting a second contract as soon as he is eligible to get a second contract. Here's Nick Caserio on Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, JP's been awesome. I mean, you ask anybody in the building like what he means to our team, and you're going to get nothing but glowing remarks and positives. He plays the right way. He's got the right mindset. He's impactful with the plays. You know, I think every player, you're going to have plays, you know, either give up some plays, want some plays back. But just his energy, his mindset, his physicality, his effort, his playmaking ability. I want to say he's our leading tackler or something. I mean, he's close. I think him and Henry are close. But he impacts the game in a positive way when he's on the field, and his attitude is infectious. I mean, last year was 1,000. Like, we'll take 2,000 Jalen Petries on this football team. So he's embraced the role. It's different than the role last year, but we figured out that this is the best thing for him and for the football team. And he's gone out there and made play after play after play in each game. So, you know, we're fortunate. We feel like we have a number of good football players on this football team. You know, JP certainly high on the list.
I think the biggest thing about Petrie is that, and this is where I get excited about how they're using him, is that because he is a really bright kid, they're going to be able to expand on this. As long as D'Amico is in charge of the defense from year to year, the ways they'll be able to disguise him, the way they'll be able to have him start near the line then cover deep and vice versa, I think it's going to grow, you know, and you don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of yourself, but his versatility and his ability mentally to be able to pick up and do multiple different things from week to week. Last year, you would see it kind of almost work against him because he was a young player who was trying to sometimes at times guess and play tendencies, and he was getting burned on double moves. Yeah. This year, I think it's a better suit for him. Both what they're asking him to do mentally and physically, it's the exact right fit.
Is there a way to work around the deficiency of him when he's playing in that slot, when he's playing that nickel, and he gets stuck in situations where he's in coverage? That's not his strong suit. Is there a way to game plan around that, or is that just collateral damage you have to live with?
Yeah, I think there's things you can do when you rotate the coverages. So it looks, especially when you make it look like he's going to be in man, you hopefully maybe dupe people into that working against him. And then the fact that he blitzes from that position makes it a little bit tougher. So it's a kind of the cat and mouse of D'Amico knowing that sometimes Petrie out there is a liability, so you put him in the situations where it looks like the offense is going to see that he's in a bad situation, but that's when you shift at the line of shift at the snap. So those types of things, and they have done that. It's just a matter of doing it more and more to where just everything's automatic.
I love the fact that that Petrie has kind of pulled himself out from where he was this time a year ago. He was a few weeks away from getting benched in a game against the Browns. You know.
Yeah.
And most of it has been Jalen embracing this role that he's in and playing in it really, really well. But credit to Miko Ryans and the coaching staff, too, for figuring out, okay, what's the best way to deploy this guy? Mm-hmm. And he's done a really good job in this role. And I think, if I had to guess, I mean, you hear that's the general manager that we just heard talking about with great gravitas, the energy that Petrie brings to the building there. I think Petrie's getting a contract after this season.
So Petrie gets a contract after this season, you think?
I do. Okay. It's similar to Nico. You know, they weren't first round picks, so there's not a fifth year option on them.
Yeah.
So I think similar to Nico Collins heading into the last year of a deal, he's a guy they want around for a while. I think he gets it after this season.
And I think too, with Petrie, he doesn't have that freakish level of athleticism that really gets safeties paid. But he's very intriguing to a lot. I think there's a lot of people around the league. It's kind of like they just like Jalen Petrie and everything that Nick said.
Yeah.
And they can see that he can be used in a little bit more exotically. So it's above and beyond. I think they can end up getting a pretty good deal with him that he feels good about, that they feel good about. It's not going to feel like you're overpaying a safety or anything like that. The best place for him is right here, and I think the Texans are using him in a way that they couldn't expect out of some other guys.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, a lot like the Nico situation, you know, probably like more of a poor man's version. Like Nico is elite at his position and is probably underpaid now, you know, for what he is. But Nico on this team in particular, in this system, as the guy with C.J. Stroud, I think similar to, you know, Petrie, very specific. And Petrie's got that element, too, where he's from here. He's a hometown guy. I think that, you know, that may matter to him, you know, wanting to stay here and play in front of his family and things like that.
Yeah. Well, and Justin, you know, like Justin Reed's another guy that just built his way into, without being that top end freakish athleticism of like some of the guys, he's just flat out solid all over the place and ended up getting paid very well elsewhere. Petrie's got a different flair to him than Justin Reed.
Yeah.
And I think long term, he could really develop into something special.
Reed got $10 million a year from the Chiefs. I would do $10 million a year for Petrie in a contract extension. I would do that deal. Last night, Thursday Night Football, one of the more entertaining games. Jameis Winston, literally as we're talking about this on TV, on GetUp, Jameis Winston shares insightful pregame and postgame commentary. That's what they're going through, and that's what we're about to do. Here was Jameis Winston last night prior to kickoff of the Browns' 24-19 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
Huntington Bank is getting all their money's worth out of that one right there, man. You know, you go up there and play that. Huntington Bank vice president who made that decision is going to get up and play it in front of the next board meeting or something.
Oh, totally.
And some lady in the audience is going to be like, well, tell me about this Jameis Winston fellow.
Right.
Like from college up on upwards. I'd love to hear his story.
Seems like a swell fellow. You know what? I'm going to go look at his Wikipedia page and see. Ooh, there was a time he wasn't all that swell. Okay.
Yeah. It's a redemption story.
It is a redemption story.
Yeah, yes. Jameis had a very checkered past. Yep. And he's gotten his life on track. And he's straight. It's interesting. In the YouTube comments, one of our commenters, she teaches Bible study, she's very religious, and she's like, I'll have questions at times about, a verse that CJ cites or something like that,
yeah.
And she'll tell me, even Abigail thinks that Winston's trying a little too hard with the religious
stuff. Oh, really?
Yeah. She said, over-religious for me, trying too hard.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, let's hear from Jameis after the game, then. He didn't, at least in this clip, didn't lean on his faith in this clip, but I like that the very first group of people that he thanked were the people behind the scenes.
Well, I think it's just one play at a time, man. I'm so grateful for our equipment staff for providing us with hand warmers, providing us with our cleat scrapers, so we're able to go out there and do the best we can to make it seem as easy as it possibly is, but as you can see, the conditions did not define our result today.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know what? Jameis and Will Anderson need a podcast together. That would be the most uplifting, energetic, happy podcast.
Yeah, but not like in a boring. Yeah, and it wouldn't be boring
at
I
all.
Think they would. I don't know if I think it would. There'd be a lot of moments when Jameis starts getting real free flowing and talking about guys born near water just play the game differently than guys who were born inland, all of that.
Yeah.
I could see Will just politely trying to keep up and follow like with wherever Jameis's brain is going. There'd be a lot of really good shots of Will looking politely confused.
Looking politely confused, but building to a moment where finally Will has just had enough of Jameis's nonsense.
Like, Jameis, no.
What are you talking about, guys near water? Yeah. That was great. Cleat scrapers. Did not think I was going to hear the word cleat scrapers in the post-game press conference.
We talk about bringing an energy to the organization and everything. It's having somebody that's always just pointing out every little thing. You ever see the guy on the interwebs that he dresses in, he's English, and he's wearing like a smoking jacket, and he goes around like giving people compliments on the street?
No.
Oh, they're hilarious. Oh, like, and they're genuine compliments.
Oh,
he's like, you look like you're off to tea with the queen, you are. Look at that. That's glorious.
How do people react?
That might be a little bit more Irish. But, yeah, that's what I could see Jameis being. Just walking around having a genuine compliment for everybody in the building.
Just a literal beacon of positivity everywhere he goes.
I'll send a video of that guy to Ben. It is. You watch it. The first time you watch it, you're like, okay, is this guy, he's actually messing with him? They're like, no, he's actually giving them really nice compliments.
Yeah, genuine.
Really nice, creative, and genuine compliments.
Did you like playing in the snow when you were in the league?
No. Yeah. No, okay. Did not. I did not like it there. I did not like it. No, I didn't. No,
really? Okay.
Because it's sloppy, and you can't keep your footing.
Gotcha.
And it makes everything just way too random.
So
I was thinking about that last night.
It's
where,
not a temperature thing for you. It's a footing thing.
Yeah, and people ask like, okay, does it benefit the offense or the defense? And you can make arguments that it benefits the offense because the defense, but like scoring goes way down when it's like that. Yeah, I didn't like that you can't trust your footing depending on what the field is.
Yeah.
So like we played up in Cincinnati one year. And it had rained the night before when it was still like 45 degrees. And then there was a hard freeze overnight. And they hadn't put a tarp over the field.
Well,
put a tarp over the field.
A tarp costs money. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah.
So then it snowed on top of the frozen layer of ice that it was left after the rain.
Okay.
And so it dropped below freezing and then it snowed. So it was like 4 inches of snow, then an inch layer of ice, and then underneath it, mud. Just mud.
Oh, my God.
So it was incredibly, it was awful. No. Ugh. Yeah, I did not like it.
That's horrible. Did you say you were with the Jags or the Texans?
That was when I was with the Jaguars, yeah. And poor Mike Hollis, our field goal kicker, missed a field goal at the end of the game, and Coughlin thought that he was the lowest scum on earth for missing it.
On that surface? An ice rink?
It was, You're looking at him like, what do you expect from this guy?
Oh, my God. Text message, 5-Hour Energy Fan Line. Oh, God, give me a break. That's all the text says. I'm assuming it's about Jameis. It came in 2 minutes ago. I'm assuming that's about
probably
Jameis.
Jameis. Look, I'm not. I think if I were around it every day, I'd probably get sick of it. But in doses like this, if he's always sermonizing and always giving speeches like that, that would get old really fast.
It would.
I feel like he might be a guy that needs to be told at some point by lower management. Like, you know, sir, I think maybe. You know, maybe we could do with fewer meetings. Some of the people are starting to wonder about having meetings every 45 minutes.
That's fair. I do think the one thing that's unique about Jameis' situation is the guy he's replacing, who came in with so much baggage. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, in Cleveland, has never really seemed to embrace the city nor the team. He's been injured. I'm talking about Deshaun Watson, obviously. He's been injured the whole time. When he's been on the field, he's played poorly. Repetitive press conferences, no energy. He has so little energy that Jameis was still doing the pregame hype speeches to the team when he was the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I heard a cut from Myles Garrett this morning when I listened into Cleveland for a few minutes this morning just to hear the reaction to the game. And, man, listening to Myles talk about Jameis Winston, they really like him up there a lot. That's going to be an interesting scenario if they keep him around next year. Well, you know, if they do with him what they didn't do with Flacco, you know, which is they probably should have kept Joe Flacco, you know.
Right. Yeah, but there was almost the
can't offend
controversy.
The precious prince, you know.
Yeah.
So all right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, 5 Reasons I Hate You, we'll do it. Tennessee Titans edition of 5 Reasons I Hate You. If you want to text in some to the 5-Hour Energy Fan Line, we'll read some of yours as well. We'll do that coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, five reasons I hate you. Titans edition. So let's get to this here. As if we need more reasons to hate the Titans, but and we're already got people sending reasons in. We encourage participation in this, the collab. These are just five that I've come up with, that Seth and I have come up with. We encourage you to send in some as well. So let's get right to it here. Let's start off with reason number five. And Amy Adams Strunk, the owner of the Tennessee Titans, who for some reason thinks that she literally owns a color. She literally thinks that they own Columbia blue, that light blue color in any version close to it. If you decide that you want your team to wear something that resembles that color, you will get sued. You will get, she will come after you with guns a-blazing, yeah, with all of her legal might, Seth.
So this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because, you know, I want to hate her for multiple reasons involving this color. I mean, she does literally own the color, so there is that, but it's the fact that she's holding on to it for no good reason. It's like she owns some piece of property that she never uses, and won't sell it just out of spite. You know,
right?
Little like she's that. You know what she is? She's the sister in a group of siblings or something, like middle-aged people that for whatever reason she's got the lake, the cabin on a pond, and she won't let anybody else use it, but she never uses it herself. Like that's the parents left it to her, and she will not let go because she doesn't want her siblings to have it. That's Amy Adams Strunk.
She's
you're so possessive of your precious little childhood that you can't let anybody else share in the memories.
Or she owns that piece of land that she's never on, and there's a few kids that need to use a path that cuts just into the land to walk to school, and she's like, nope, can't walk on that path. Sorry.
You know what You know what she is? My wife's hometown. Yeah. It's a nice little town. It's like a throwback to another era. And they've got this little park with the little league field is out there.
Yeah.
And there's a house right next door to the park. Yeah. That it basically the house is adjacent to the property line goes along like the first baseline, and it might be like, I don't know, 40 or 50 feet away from the first baseline. And the person who bought this house when the ballpark was already there is furious and irate that there are so many foul balls or errantly thrown balls going into their backyard.
Dude.
And will not let kids go into the backyard to get the balls. Yeah. That's Amy Adams Shunk. Like, listen,
yes.
You moved.
She's
you knew
terrible.
That this was a thing. You relinquished the name, and yet you possessively hold on to that color because of your childhood memories.
Right.
Nobody in Nashville has any childhood memories of that crap.
Zero.
You just want to spite the people of Houston.
Well, you know what I'm going to do here? And we'll get to the other four reasons and some of y'all's on the text page here in just a minute. I'm going to give a quick acknowledgement. Oh, where is Ben in there? Yeah, I want to acknowledge Hannah McNair.
Acknowledge me!
Great quote in a piece from Jonathan Alexander talking about this rivalry in the Chronicle. I think it was Jonathan that wrote this, where they were, Cal and Hannah were at an event earlier this week at a fire station honoring first responders. That's a big theme this weekend. It's a salute to service and first responders game this weekend. So they were at a local fire station 33. And they asked Cal about the Titans rivalry, and he was typical Cal, very diplomatic, not looking to kick a bee's nest or anything. They asked Hannah about it. She goes, "We've taken over Houston. We've taken our fans back, so they're just the Titans now." End quote. She does not care, man. It is awesome.
Hannah, Miles Garrett, they're the people this morning we've talked about that are most WWE like.
Yeah.
And you love that.
I love
you
that.
Will anything that feels theatrical, you're
yes.
all about that.
Yes.
And Hannah's here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I don't think Hannah's gonna back down. Like, the Texans have had the upper hand as of late. I don't feel like Hannah's ever gonna back down one little bit, even if the if the Texans go on a bad run versus the Titans.
No, she'll be the classic heel at that point where she talks about how awesome the Texans are even when they're not doing well. Like, that's what really gets people mad. Like Micah the other day. Like Micah Parsons talking about, "We're a damn good football team." That's classic heel stuff right there. All right, let's get to these other four reasons. Reason number four, five reasons I hate you, Titans. They couldn't even be good enough to entice Derrick Henry to stay there with the team. So now we all have to deal with him on the Baltimore Ravens. If they could have just put a better offer and a better sales pitch for him to end his career in Tennessee as a Tennessee legend, then we as the rest of the AFC would not have to deal with this two-headed monster of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
They're like Oklahoma City, you know, driving Kevin Durant into the arms of a better situation.
Bingo! That's exactly who they are. And we hate Oklahoma City, too. Yes.
And, you know, except unlike Durant, Derrick Henry's going to be looked at as a driving force behind getting them over the hump over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you could have just kept your man, could you keep a man? Could you keep a man, Tennessee?
Yeah.
You couldn't keep Sam Houston.
No, that's
drove
right.
him out of town. He was like 6 weeks into his governorship.
Great call, Seth.
And
yes.
Sam Houston was like, FOH, myself. I'm not this crap. I can't govern these people.
That's right.
They're
that's
unreasonable.
Right. That's right. They are unreasonable.
Yeah, inbred weirdos all over the state legislature.
There it is.
I walk in there and I can't tell which way anybody's even looking at me.
They play.
And I'm drunk. Direct quote from Sam Houston.
Look it up.
Bunch of cross-eyed inbreds ruining my buzz.
Google it. Look it up. Look it up. All right. Reason number three. Frank Bush is on their staff there. Frank Bush is their linebackers coach. Who is Frank Bush? In case, you know, you're not a longtime Texan fan. He was the defensive coordinator for the worst Texans defense that I've ever seen in my life. And we've seen some bad ones. But boy, that one in 2010, it was a bad defense combined with the hope of that season. Because that was the previous season in 2009 was the first season that they had ever finished over 500. And they did it by winning four in a row at the end of the year. So everybody thought like, ooh, this Texans, you know, maybe even like got a little Peter Schrager, like, ooh, they're a fun young team kind of thing. And they were offensively in 2010, but the defense was a sieve. And I blame Frank Bush and just being reminded of that by looking at their staff and saying, oh, that guy, That's reason number three for me.
Right? I have a hard time with that one because this is my memory of Frank Bush. This is my one exchange I've had with Frank Bush. It was after the 2006 season. I'd been injured that year, and it was Gary Kubiak's first year, and I absolutely loved Gary Kubiak, and I was really impressed by him. But at the end of the season, there was just some stuff. I had serious issues with some of the things Rick Smith had done, and I had serious issues with some of the things Richard Smith, the defensive coordinator, had done. And I just flat out told Gary. It wasn't like a, slam my key card on the desk type of moment, because I liked Gary a lot.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to be open with him. It was basically like, I don't need to be dealing with this BS anymore. And frankly, these are my objections about what Richard Smith did, and these are my objections about Rick Smith. The two dicks, basically. I told them how I felt about it.
Right, right.
And I kind of felt like, that's probably it for me. I was coming off an ACL. I'd had three major injuries. But I kind of was like, all right, I'm not going to mess around anymore.
No.
Like, this is how I feel about it. And I left that conversation with Gary just kind of feeling like, yeah, they're definitely going to cut me. And it wasn't like, I wasn't a jerk to him or anything. I was just telling him how I felt. And immediately, on my way out of the building, I met Frank Bush. And Frank Bush was like, oh, I got to meet this man, this young man. Oh, I'll tell you what. And then he was just telling me all these nice things about myself and everything.
So you have a favorable,
like, to play with that guy.
You have a favorable, and I've heard he's a really nice guy.
But listen, he ended up becoming the defensive coordinator a couple years later,
yes.
And it did not work out well.
That's right. For purposes of this segment, at least for the next 4 minutes.
It's a reminder of Gary Kubiak. Okay. Gary Kubiak was an offensive-minded coach who had a really hard time getting the right defensive coordinator.
Amen. Yeah.
For 4 years, 5 years. 5 years.
5 years, yeah. 5 years.
And and you don't want to replay that same thing with D'Amico Ryans having the other side of the ball managed by the wrong offensive coordinator. Bobby Slowick's got a lot to prove over the second half of the season.
He does. He does. All right, let's get to reasons number two and one because they're kind of the same. I mean, they're the quarterbacks of this team. Number two, Mason Rudolph, maybe the most punchable face in the NFL. Miles Garrett swung a helmet at the guy's head. That's how hateable and punchable Mason
for
Rudolph
reasons
is.
That nobody else has backed him up on, though. Too.
Well, Miles Garrett claimed
that
Mason Rudolph threw a racial epithet.
Not a single one of his teammates or anybody else said. I sense the whole lot of this ain't it.
Yeah. So Mason Rudolph, number two. We may see him on Sunday. We may not. Reason number one, the Mayo King himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Levis. Punchable face, punchable attitude, mayonnaise commercials.
Mayotivations with Will Levis. Mayo team, reach higher. And your buffalo chicken dip, be fire.
Winning.
Mayo game day, be delicious.
This is the important thing to know about this. Look, that's intentionally cheesy. That's an ironically themed commercial, and yet I 100% believe that Will Levis doesn't understand that. I think he thinks it's a glorious representation of the greatness that is Will Levis.
I don't think he
got a single joke or any bit of the funny things from that video.
I don't either.
That video is otherwise done well.
I don't either. Yeah, yeah.
You know what it is? Like, it's kind of like when Paul Rudd makes one too many jokes about how he doesn't age. You're like, all right, Paul. Yeah, like, we get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We already know, Paul. Okay, you don't have to keep, we see you're acting like you're taking shots at yourself by pointing out something that's very impressive. Okay. Will Levis is like that on the Mayo commercials. He's all chiseled,
Yeah, he's...
So he's thinking like, yeah, we're making fun of people who are all chiseled, but I can do that because look at me, I'm all chiseled.
Yes, yeah. No, it looks good, but we get it. You like Mayo, dude. You put it in your coffee.
Look, he hasn't done as many insanely stupid and boneheaded things as of late.
On the field,
but
you mean?
The Texans are the defense to do that to him.
Yes.
Yeah. He's got the bonehead in him, okay? Mm-hmm. You can show his bone, and it's not impressive. So, yeah, the Texans' pass rush, especially if Will Anderson is playing, is going against a very suspect offensive line. Turning Will Levis into the dumbest, most idiotically risk-taking for no good reason or payoff whatsoever, Will Levis. Yeah. Bludgeon him, bruise him. Make him dumb again.
5 Hour Energy fan line. People texting in. When you do 5 reasons I hate you for the Titans, you should do it for the whole show. That's how many reasons we have to hate the Titans, I guess.
Oh, that's... You know what? Did you get any good text examples? Because we can do a second five reasons.
A second five reasons. Yeah, we got a few. We got a few. I'll save them. There's a few of these. Like, hey guys, I'm a Texans fan. We have our own colors. This is silly. Yes, it's silly. It's radio, and I know we have our own colors. We're pointing out the stupidity of Amy Adams' overprotectiveness of that color, her hoarding that color. I'm perfectly fine. Seth and I did a whole segment on the uniforms earlier this week. I love the new uniforms. I think they're fantastic. It's an Amy Adams thing. It's not a, oh, we need our blue thing. Yeah, no,
you got
not.
That little cabin by the lake that used to be the family cabin, but now she's got it.
Right.
And she's not letting anybody else use it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I were her brother or something, I'd be like, well, I want to not use it too.
Yeah.
I don't even care if I use it or not, but I want the right to not use it the same way you're not using it.
Correct.
And she's using it now, but in such a way that it doesn't matter. None of this resonates with the Nashville fan base.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Are they wearing the Oiler uniforms again in week 18 when they play the Texans? I haven't seen
probably. Any. She's probably dumb enough to try that again. Yeah.
Look at Jeff Fisher catching a stray from somebody. I hate the Titans because of former head coach Jeff Fisher's mustache. Okay.
And his mullet. The mullet when it wasn't, there's no, he wasn't wearing the mullet ironically. Okay.
No,
and he wasn't from Saskatchewan.
No.
So it was wholly inappropriate that he had that mullet. It was before it came back into style or anything else. It was in very much the moment in wearing a mullet, you were making a statement.
That's right.
At that point in America.
Texter says Hannah McNair is totally Stephanie McMahon. She is. Stephanie McMahon is a great heel character on TV, Vince's daughter. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hannah has a lot of Stephanie McMahon. Yes.
Does she come off? What's her character like? Is she, it's like she's the boss's daughter?
Like the billion dollar.
Doesn't have any humanity to her.
Like the billion dollar princess character kind of thing. Okay. Like Hannah, I don't think Hannah's like billion dollar princess character, but she has heel tendencies like Stephanie McMahon. Like she DGAF, man. She DGAF. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. What would you do if you were commissioner for a day? J.J. Watt answered this question on Pat McAfee. I'm curious. Text in 5-Hour Energy Fan Line. What would you do? J.J. had an interesting answer for this. We'll let you hear it coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Football Friday. J.J. Watt, oh, that music's loud. J.J. Watt is on the Pat McAfee show each week, and he was asked this week, they're doing a new segment on there called Ask J.J. Where are you on them referring to him as J.J.?
I don't like that. I don't like that. I've never heard that before. J.J.
Until he went on McAfee, he was always J.J., not J.J.
Wait, am I not liking it because I've never heard it before? J.J. No, I don't like it.
Don't like it. But they're doing a segment like hashtag Ask J.J. And one of the questions that he got asked was, what would you do if you were named commissioner of the NFL for a day? Here's what he said.
I would compensate the referees more and make them full-time employees, but I would also have the punishments be higher. I would have, statistics on them. I would have a whole pool of well-compensated officials, and I would have like a promotion relegation system for officials where if you miss a certain number of calls or we go back and we watch the film and you miss too many calls, you're out and the next guy gets his shot and you can earn your way back in. But I think there needs to be more accountability. I think there needs to be, it's a hard job. I also don't want these guys to think it's a very hard job, just like our job. I don't get a sack every play, but I do get graded every play. The public is on me every play. Like you can tell if I'm playing good or if I'm playing bad. I think there needs to be more accountability for them. And I think that should be. And then if I got a little extra time, 4th and 15 for onside kicks, because I'm sick of the onside kick situation.
Okay.
Okay. So as far as the actual, I mean, they do. That is the way it works. Guys do get elevated and lose it. They're constantly. So that part of it, I feel like that's what people are always demanding. And then even if they get it, you're not going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
You're never going to be happy with the guys who blow calls or anything. So the part of evaluating the officials, that happens every single week. I think the part about them being full time, I don't know if it's going to make that big of a difference.
I do.
The other jobs where it's full time, it's because they're out there umping or basketball officiating multiple nights per week. And it feels like overkill for somebody that we need these guys to sit and watch film for that long.
Right.
If anything, they're going to get too good at calling penalties.
Right. Because
they'll know all the tendencies of every little guy.
That's my big thing. That whole thing of they need to be made full time, to me, that's like people just saying something that sounds smart to try to cure. Oh, they're part-time? Well, gosh, let's make them full-time. Nobody ever asks the follow-up question, well, what are they going to do all week when they're not officiating games? You know, what?
Yeah.
Like, what exactly does a 40 or 50-hour work week for a referee in football where they're reffing one game a week, right. What does their work... Are they sitting in a virtual reality room just... practicing making calls all day?
Yeah, I don't know. It would make it better. Maybe it would make it that much different. They should try it with a pool of officials, like try 10 where they're full-time and you just see are they making certain calls better.
Now that's a good idea. That is
I
a
like
good
the way
idea.
I'm not 100% comfortable with the way it's being rolled out, because we don't it feels like we don't always exactly know what they there are rules for what they can and cannot be helped by with help from the booth. It feels like they stretch that a little bit sometimes. Yeah. But I'm cool with it because I feel like it's for the better.
Yeah.
Like when they get a call from the booth and it's not an official replay and they can change the outcome of something that's obvious, I'm cool with that. So I actually like that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take a while for them to probably get exactly, you know, get the whole process down. But I think that that's helped. I think there's been some moments that would have been huge talking points the next day that have been reversed in the moment because somebody from above got in the referee's ear.
If I were commissioner for a day, I jotted down a few things as I was listening to JJ there. I would the one thing I would do rules wise, I would marry the college and NFL rules more to where they mirror each other. Like, there's some things I like about the NFL rule book that I think would be great in college. There's some things about the college rule book that we were starting to see it a little bit. They have a 2-minute warning now in college. They never had that before. I would love to see the NFL adopt the stopping the clock in the last 2 minutes to move the chains for a first down. You know how in college they stop the clock on a first down until they move the chain, so you get a few. It makes comebacks a little easier, you know.
Oh, it just makes the end of games last so long.
Not that much longer. Yeah. It's not like the NBA where everybody's calling timeout. Yeah. It's not that bad. No, I think it would benefit the NFL and make for more comebacks at the end of games. I think the pass interference rule in the NFL is way too punitive. That it's a spot foul, that you can have a 50-yard penalty.
Okay.
It's just silly to me.
But now everything that you said earlier, I could say, yeah, some of these things you're doing, you're going to have more offense. If you end up allowing NFL players, like the defenders, to be more free and loose with when they commit pass interference, I feel like that's going to... I don't know. I don't know if that would actually help scoring or not.
I don't watch college games, and maybe it'd be different in the NFL. I don't watch college games and sit there afterwards and say, man, there's so many pass interference penalties, it should be more punitive.
I guess part of it was in the NFL is that they make it a lot harder to play defensive back. You got to be, and I like the there's a purity to that. You got to do it with your feet and your skill. You can't just, you know, latch onto dudes.
I'm with you, but that a missed call, that a bad call by an official can cost you 40 yards, can literally hand
well,
the team
Saints
a touchdown.
Or a missed call. I think that, that part of it could change. I think the biggest thing, if you move the hash marks out to where they are in high school and college, then it would really open. And then the thing that would be fun, too, is if they did change the rules for illegal offensive linemen downfield. And just make it, give him like 3 yards or something. Then that I, as a defensive player, I would hate it. But then that's one of the big differences from the lower levels of the NFL.
Yeah.
How effective they can be because they either the rule's a little looser and they don't enforce it as well. So on these screens, they're just jailbreaks.
Yeah. The other things I would do, I would make sure there were betting kiosks all over every stadium and every concourse, so I could walk in and go make my bets during stoppages.
Some places, I think some teams are already doing that.
I think they might be. Yeah, I would make sure that all 32 teams would be doing that, though. I'd have them in every state. Even you know what? I would put them in the states where it's not even legal and just say, come at me, government. Let's go. These are betting kiosks at NRG Stadium.
Personal opium wars, really.
Come and
get
me.
This is what the people want, and I'm going to give it to them. Whether you say it's legal or not.
Opium war, yes. I would also get rid of the stupid rule that you can only wear your alternate uniforms 3 games out of the year. That's dumb. That the Texans can only wear the red the battle red.
You basically you want them to not be alternate uniforms. You want them. Yeah. You want there to be a rotation of uniforms that you can pick and choose when and where you're going to use them.
Right.
And I'm not
saying use the alternate uniforms all the time. Although the two alternate uniforms for the Texans are my two favorite ones.
Right.
Now, I will admit, maybe they're my favorite ones because you can only wear them a few times. If they wore them all the time, maybe they would start to normalize a little bit more. But I think the NFL is a little draconian with the uniform stuff sometimes.
Yeah, but they also understand scarcity and the human beings' responses to it. Yeah. They sell more stuff when they're made scarce.
Yeah. So would I be a good commissioner, Seth, or were those ideas a little?
No, they were all well and good. Yeah, okay. They were good.
Okay.
I like your ideas about adopting some of the college stuff into the NFL.
Which is
generally what happens. You know?
Yeah.
We had about 10 years of people saying like a spread offense will never work in the NFL. But then lo and behold, over time, there you go. Yeah. And they added a lot of the elements to it. It's not the same.
The one thing I would also do if I were commissioner for a day is I would make sure that that one day was on a payday. I would make sure that that was a day I'm getting a check because the commissioner makes $44 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
I would make sure that that one day was a day where I was actually getting Roger Goodell's check that day.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good. I wouldn't change the salary for the commissioner if I became commissioner.
Figure out which day he gets like a big bonus.
Yeah. I wouldn't change the salary at all. I'd be like, no, this is fair compensation, $44 million. I think this is the best thing that you've done as commissioner, is making sure that I get paid. I know it's the owners that decide all that, but yeah. So there you go.
That's his annual salary is $44 million?
He makes like over $40 million a year. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I'll tell you what. You know what's interesting is? It is like a lesson in life.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell, his goal, as I understand it, from a very young age was to be NFL commissioner. Like from when he was a teenager.
Yes.
Which I'm guessing at that time in America, the number of young American people whose career goal was to become NFL commissioner might have been one. It might have been Roger Goodell and Roger Goodell alone.
Correct.
So, and then everything he did in his life and his education and the jobs he took and everything was kind of geared towards achieving a goal that very few people had spent that much time focused on.
Yep.
So you talk about like really nailing a niche.
Oh yeah.
He figured out a niche early on and figured out exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, and now it's the most popular sport. Yeah, that and soccer on the entire planet.
He's reached to a level in life where I feel like he's probably, it's impossible for me to believe he hasn't ordered at least 3 assassinations and
gotten
away with
them. He's a very powerful person. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. Let's get the Texans GM scouting report on the Tennessee Titans, and also Nick answers questions about what I would say are the parts of this team right now that the Texans fans are most anxious about. We asked them about the O-line and Bobby Slowick yesterday as well. If you missed it, stay there. We're going to play it for you coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.